The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast and the only podcast that relates characters and events from the epic cult series Game of Thrones to players and events from our beloved Buffalo Bills. This is part two of a two-part series. Last time, we gave a review of the entire series, the controversial last season, the series finale, and did a couple of Game of Thrones slash Bills parallels. So check that out if you're interested. But in this episode, we spend the whole time making parallels between the two. We welcome back Nick from the Torrent Podcast to talk more about the subject. And just to warn listeners out there, there will be many spoilers of Game of Thrones. So if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, save and bookmark this episode until after you've watched it. Or if you never plan to watch Game of Thrones, our discussion on it and the Bills may entice you to give it a shot. We are releasing our Game of Thrones inspired Bills t-shirt after this episode. So check it out at tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. That's tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod, and I'll be posting it on Twitter also. So sit back and enjoy the similarities and parallels of a great TV series and your favorite football team.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground.
So last episode, we did a breakdown of Game of Thrones, the series in general, the Game of Thrones, the last season, the series finale, the last episode, and then just how all of these cult series have come about and how important they are and how much we may or may not like the ending. And now we're going to get into the topic of parallels between Game of Thrones characters and obviously the Buffalo Bills, which is what this podcast is really about, the Buffalo Bills, Game of Thrones themes, events, Bills themes and events that have happened over time. And some of them are going to be maybe spot on, and some of these are going to be super obscure. Not unlike the last season, which I feel like wasn't super, you know, well put together, but that's okay. This podcast is going to be like that too. So, Nick, since you are, you know, the guy when it comes to TV, movies, video games, and music, as your podcast, the Torrent podcast is, do you have a parallel as a Bills fan that you saw between Game of Thrones?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want an obvious one or like a low hanging fruit, or do you want me to go right for the deep cuts?
Oh, you know I like low hanging fruit. It's always okay. The best. The quickest distance between two points, right? Just give me that straight line. Go ahead.
I'll give you an easy one here. For me, and give me my money, Josh Allen is our Jon Snow right now. He's always counted as an underdog. Always, he's like a wholesome kid. Couple questionable decisions here or there, bringing up the Twitter stuff that got drudged up at the draft. But other than that, spotless record. We got a lot banking on this kid for the future of the Buffalo Bills. And so I think, you know, hopefully, people thought, you know, Jon Snow was just a bastard. Nobody liked Jon Snow in, you know, his mother. His adopted mother didn't like him. People just called him like he was just a bastard. It doesn't really matter. And all of a sudden, he's actually a Targaryen who's actually of great importance. So hopefully Josh Allen's real last name is Targaryen also, and he can just start throwing dimes to people.
Man, that is a really good analogy. Now, I had someone else for Jon Snow, but I think yours is much better because before Josh Allen became quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, I mean, he was a quarterback at Wyoming, which is not a big name school whatsoever. And the fact that he had to play junior college before that, and he was turned down by all Division I colleges until he wrote a letter to like every single Division I head coach and offensive coordinator to give him a shot. And no one did. And just like Jon Snow, like no one took him seriously. He was the watch. He had to earn everything that he had, just like Josh Allen. And yeah. those, man, that is a really good parallel. And then not only that, like there have been people along the way that believed in Jon Snow even more than he believed in himself, right? Like they wanted him Lord of the North, King of the North, right? And he was just like, no, I don't really want that, you know?
Yeah.
And just like, almost that's a good one, man. Josh Allen is our Jon Snow. Hopefully it ends up better than it did for Jon Snow, but hopefully he becomes the king of the Seven Kingdoms. But hopefully
king of the North, at least, you know.
Now the only reason, so now I said Ned Stark last episode for someone, but maybe so I was thinking Sean McDermott for Jon Snow, only because is that what you were kind of going that
I
way
had
too?
The same one. I had the same one. Yep.
No, now for a different reason though, only because with McDermott and his message to us Bills fans and the media and everyone out there has been culture, culture, culture.
Yes.
And there's nobody in the series that was more culture, more morals and more just that when it came down to doing what was right and what was wrong, there was nobody that was more about that besides Jon Snow. And the only one that you could say besides that would be maybe Ned Stark, right? So we talked about that a little bit last episode. So maybe like a combination between Ned Stark and Jon Snow for Sean McDermott. But yeah, you know what? I like yours better. I like Jon Snow being Josh Allen.
There's definitely an argument for Sean McDermott being our Eddard Stark, Ned Stark. You know, he, like you said, he has a strong set of morals and values, and he is going to stick with those no matter what. So whether the Bills decide to fire him next year because everything, you know, goes up in flames, he is still going to hold on to those values. So even if it gets him killed, quote unquote, in football terms, he will stay to his values. So for me, Sean McDermott is our Ned Stark.
That's a good one, man. And not only that, there were like people, so like, actually, that's like a because they both, Jon Snow and Ned Stark are basically like the same people when it comes down to it. So that's why it's like a really good analogy between the two, because if there was anyone to a fault that Jon Snow was like, it was his father. It wasn't his actual father, but it was
his adopted father, I guess,
technically. Yeah. Spoiler. By the way, there's going to be a ton of spoilers again in this episode like there was in the last episode. I'll note that again. But so you were saying, you know, the organization is going to live and die with Josh Allen being, you know, the quarterback. Can you think of a better person that might be Brandon Bean in this scenario other than like Varys? Varys, I was thinking just because he really wanted Jon Snow as the king, and he died for wanting that and becoming a traitor to Daenerys.
It's a good point. That's a good point. I hadn't thought. I was trying to find one for Brandon Bean, and I couldn't really without making too much of a stretch, but having him be Varys, Varys seems a little more, more deceptive than Brandon Bean is. You know what I mean? So maybe, like a Sir Davos, just always right there with him, hanging out with Jon Snow, just like advising him. Mm-hmm. I got a feeling that Sir Davos would be really good friends with Eddard Stark if he were alive in Game of Thrones. So, you know, those three guys maybe kind of make our Bean McDermott Jon Snow combo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Varys was always like kind of working in the background. Like, so you always hear of Brandon Bean like making phone calls during the draft, trying to call teams, seeing what they would trade up for, trade down for, what they're looking for. Like, that was kind of like Varys, like having the children go around and get information from him.
I like that.
You know, with that, like sending out, like, not necessarily like the best, like sort of deceptive, like you said, like not necessarily the best intention for what was good for every, but in his mind, he thought he was doing what was best for all of Westeros or all the Seven Kingdoms, right? He wanted to do what was best. But at the same time, he had his own agenda and he was going to do what he thought was right. So when people are saying, you know, maybe you spent too much on Josh Allen or maybe you shouldn't have traded them any assets, Brandon Bean's doing what he thinks is right. And whatever the cost is, and obviously in this situation didn't end up too well for Varys, but you know, but stuck to his guns to what he thought, you know. Okay, all right. I think I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know if I have another one for Brandon Bean, but we'll just use that one for now.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, Varys. Yeah.
So one that I have is the Lannisters, right? Now, when you think of Lannisters, you think of power hungry, deception, you know, doing whatever they can to hold on to that throne, whether it's the father Tywin, whether it's, you know, Cersei, who's just like a younger version of Tywin, like he was kind of like a tyrant. And and then you have, you know, Jaime, the guy that kind of follows along with whatever Cersei does, you know, and Tyrion, he kind of doesn't really fall into, I know he's a Lannister, but he doesn't really fall into that because he's basically goes against him so many times and he joins another kingdom or whatever the case is. But when I think of the Lannisters, I think of the New England Patriots. I think of, you know, they
I think that would have to be, right? I mean, if the Bills are the Starks in our minds, you know, the heroes, the good guys, then the Patriots are the bad guys. And the only family who's consistently been like trying to screw over the Starks for the whole show has been the Lannisters. So perfect, mate.
Yeah. So so, you know, we talked last episode about incest being a big theme. How is that not?
is this where we start bringing up pictures of Tom Brady, like mouth kissing his dad?
You not only have Tom Brady mouth kissing his dad, but you also have Belichick mouth kissing his daughter, you know, and it's just like incest is a huge theme, and especially with the Lannisters, you know, to the point where it's very, you know, it's so like they have children together, you know, that's how much incest is going on. And then
so let me ask you this, Nate, then who is the Tyrion Lannister? Because he is a Lannister.
Yes.
But we ultimately like him and respect him and is one of our favorite characters of the show. So is there a Bills or a Bills related football related person who would be our Tyrion Lannister?
Now, if you were looking at it like just one for one, right, it would have to be somebody that was either part of the Patriots organization that came here, whether it was like an executive or a Bills player that came here.
Right.
And there hasn't been a lot. There hasn't been a lot of players that have come here and done well, or, you know, even executives that have come from. That's a tough one, man.
Okay.
That
TBD then.
TBD, yes.
TBD. Okay.
I mean,
maybe in the near future we get somebody, but
the Bills have a tackle, offensive tackle from the Patriots last year, Ladrian Waddle, offensive tackle. So maybe he's that guy. But I mean, it would have to be like when you think Tyrion, you think like mastermind. So it would have to be in my mind either like a quarterback, a coordinator, maybe Brian Dable. Maybe Brian Dable. He was the offensive coordinator. He was a tight ends coach for New England for a long time, for several years.
Okay.
You know, maybe going over to this side, helping. Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator. He's scheming up the offense. He is
kind of fails upward a little bit, maybe.
Yes, fails upwards. Yep.
Okay, I like it.
And he is never the king. He'll never be the Sean McDermott or the Brandon Bean or whoever.
Yeah.
But he is the he's the hand
right there.
He's the hand of the king. He's the hand of Sean McDermott.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right, I like this.
I'm glad we talked this out. I had none of that written down. That's good. I did have the incestuous stuff definitely written down.
That's hilarious. I think that fits too perfectly.
It does. So I don't even want to bag on Tom Brady for kissing his son. Like I'm not one of those guys that have ever did that, or like one of those people that kisses their children on the lips. Like I know people that do that, and you know whatever. But like there definitely comes. Can we agree that there's an age where that ends, right?
Oh yeah.
Like it's got to be like one or two, right? Like, as a father, are you? I mean, maybe you're kissing your. I don't know. I can't see that. I've never been that guy. My family's never been that. I guess I wouldn't see that. So
I don't have kids yet, so I can't really speak to that. I'm sure my thoughts on that might. I don't know.
No,
I don't know. It's weird to me, but when we'll see what happens. When, you know, when I have my own kids, we'll
yeah,
see
yeah.
We'll see what life brings. But like, I don't know. I can't. I don't
know. It's still
it's
yeah.
Weird. It's still gonna be weird. But
yeah, just give him a hug. Just give him a hug.
Yes. Just hug him.
Hug him.
Just hug him. Squeeze him tight.
Squeeze him tight. Yeah, yeah. Show him you love him. But yeah. So I had as the Lannisters, I had his Kraft, Robert Kraft is Tywin Lannister, right?
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
He's like the head of the Lannister family. He's the head of the Patriots. He's the master.
Has Robert Kraft had any of the toilet incidents by chance?
Yes. No, not the toilet incident, but the prostitute incident.
Oh, yes. That's yes. Right. That's right. So, a prostitute did him in, just like
just,
Tywin Lannister.
Yes, exactly. Just did them both in, right?
Working out
right?
Too perfect right now, yes.
So you have Robert Kraft in a massage parlor in South Florida, and you had Tywin Lannister with a prostitute that shouldn't have probably been with
right.
Tyrion's side piece. So
yes, that's right. R.I.P. Shay.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Okay. By the way, the whole time was she playing Tyrion the whole time, or was it?
That's one of the reasons why I want to go back and watch it. The show, you know, maybe. You know, after I've kind of put it out of my mind for a while, because I do want to pick up some of those other storylines and some of those interesting characters who, I'm not sure if she was playing the Game of Thrones as well, as they say, you know, she was trying to work her way up, or if she was manipulated by Tywin. I have no idea.
Well, she was a prostitute, so would you ever blame her for trying to get higher? I mean, she'd be like, no, I'm good just right here. Like her whole thing is to get as much as she can, you know, with, I don't know. I feel like it's a different mentality. Like, if this is a complete sidetrack from this episode, but have you ever seen that Amazon Prime documentary, Soaked in Bleach? Have you ever heard of it? So it is this documentary where they basically talk about Kurt Cobain's death, the lead singer for Nirvana. He, you know, apparently committed suicide, this and that. And it's basically a documentary saying that, like, yeah, it wasn't really a suicide. There's no proof of that. And they think it was actually Courtney Love that did it, that killed killed him.
Wow.
And what I didn't know is that Courtney Love was a former stripper. So,
and
I won't give it all away because there's a ton to this documentary, but we basically spoiled Game of Thrones. So I'll spoil a little bit of this. she basically, he had a prenup signed when they got married. So he was about to leave her and he was signing up the, you know, divorce papers and she was going to get nothing. He was worth millions, obviously, right? And potentially billions with his name and everything else. And so there was thought that he didn't actually kill himself, that somebody else killed him and made it look like a suicide. Yeah, it's crazy. I recommend it to anyone that's listening to this to watch Soaked in Bleach on Amazon Prime. And it's totally worth it. I was supposed to take a nap one day because I was so tired from the newborn getting up, and I was watching this documentary like, I can't put it down. I don't care if I don't get any sleep. This is that good. So the last Lannister that I have is Cersei. Now, if you had to think of who Cersei might be, now it's under Tywin, someone who's taking power.
It's got to be Bill Belichick, right?
Right? It's got to be.
It's got to be.
If Bill Belichick isn't Tywin, he's got to be Cersei as far as power goes and
– yep. Playing dirty a little bit, always got a backup plan, always kind of knows.
Cheating,
what to do.
Yep.
Yes, for sure, 100%.
Always picking the most, like, devious people in his organization to, like, you know, whether it's, you know, getting film of other players practicing or walkthroughs through the Super Bowl. You know, it's just, always something with him.
So then, did we say Tom Brady yet? Did we bring him up as a... Maybe Jamie Lannister?
So we talked about Tom Brady last episode.
Oh, we did.
Randomly, but that was more of an event that happened in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And how it related. So, I mean, I guess I could kind of see Cersei as Tom Brady too, but I think it makes more sense since the ruler, Cersei ruled for most of that time, that Bill Belichick is Cersei.
Yeah.
Did you have another one that you...
Yeah, I got a couple more. I got a couple more. Here's a fun one. So let's go back to the Starks here for a second. So we got Jon Snow. We established as Josh Allen. Jon Snow's one of his good friends who kind of came in. One of these friends kind of came in the second chapter of his life, if you will, after the Night's Watch, and that's Tormund, the Wildling. Quickly becomes a fan favorite as soon as he's introduced. fun, wise talking, kind of you know, weathered looking. He's got the
he's rough
hair,
yeah, he's rough around the edges, yeah,
rough around the edges. Yeah. And I think
Giants Bane, right? Giants Bane?
Tormund Giants Bane, yep. Right now, I think our Tormund is Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley just got traded from the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of an underappreciated player, but I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on Twitter. He's been killing it on Twitter, and he is becoming one of my favorite Bills players simply because he's been defending Buffalo, defending the choice to come here, why he wants to play here, and hopefully he'll be a really good receiver for Josh Allen to put up some points this year. So it's a little bit of a reach, but I'm going to go Cole Beasley is our Tormund here.
You know what? That's a really good one. I like that one a lot because not only do you have him kind of changing sides, not changing sides, he's always been a wildling, but, you know, yeah. Cole Beasley coming over from the Cowboys to here, you know, Tormund not only fighting with the wildlings, but fighting with the people from the north. And, you know, yeah, that's a good one. You know what? They kind of... Don't they both have like beards and long hair? Like I know
they
once
did. I think Cole might have cut him. Cut his hair and beard. But at one point, yeah, they did look a little similar.
Now minus the Giants Bane part because Tormund is a huge man, as he stated from drinking the milk of a giant. But Cole Beasley is like 5'8", so slightly different stature. But still, like the look is there. Defending. I like that. To the end, and I hope he is to Josh Allen what Tormund was to Jon Snow.
Yes.
That's a good one, 100%. Man. Hold on. I wanna do one real quick.
Okay, yeah.
So we were talking about the Lannisters earlier. I didn't want to give it away. Actually, we talked about Brandon Bean being like Varys, like having certain things in place, in motion, you know, trying to make certain moves to get what he wanted. I originally had, before we talked about that, Tyrion as Brandon Bean because I kind of saw him more as the guy that was, whether it was like, what was it, the Battle of Blackwater? Is that the one that Tyrion basically won for King's Landing?
Yes. Yep.
It was something like that where it was, and that kind of goes into a parallel that I have in Game of Thrones, which was basically like Tyrion defending King's Landing against Stannis Baratheon and then winning the Battle of Blackwater when really it seemed like the city was going to fall even then, right? That was, to me, was kind of like Brandon Bean making the playoffs in his first season as GM, even after trading away all his assets and everyone thought that the Bills were going to tank and were going for the first overall pick. He somehow pulls it together, gets enough pieces in place, and makes a stand and the Bills end the 17-year playoff drought.
Wow.
So
I like that. Yeah.
So I know Tyrion is kind of like, you know, he has his good moments and Brandon Bean has his good moments and his bad moments. Now this offseason, everything seems great because the players haven't played yet, but there have been some moves where Brandon Bean has made that have kind of bit him in the backside. So I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head as far as a free agent signing. I mean, Trent Murphy hasn't panned out yet. He hasn't done anything really on the offensive side of the ball except for this offseason. Last offseason, it's been pretty rough. The one guy, but before Jerry Hughes just got this recent deal, the only other guy that he gave a contract to within his contract before the guy was about to hit free agency was Eric Wood. And not that it was Brandon Bean's fault, but Eric Wood ended up retiring like a month after he got this contract extension. So basically, we ate all that money, but Tyrion's constantly, you know, doing things, not always the right things, and he admits as much, but, you know, the mastermind behind, you know, how many rulers. So that's in owners. In this case, probably the owner. Probably Terry Pegula would be the owner, the king in this case. Wow. So Tyrion being the hand to Terry Pegula and Brandon Bean being the hand to Terry Pegula. So, all right.
Speaking of Terry, do you think he's a character in Game of Thrones? Is there an analogy for him?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I had a hard time. I was trying to think of one myself, and I had a hard time finding one that fit in my mind.
Because he's not evil, obviously. He's a guy that, you know, and, you know, being a Sabres fan, and he's, you know, the owner of the Sabres. Like, we all, I think, really appreciate Terry Pegula. For, I mean, sure, we criticize him when the teams aren't doing well, just like every fan base does. But I think we're really happy that he came in and saved both franchises and didn't let them get sold by an outside buyer so that they got relocated. I mean, I'm trying to think of what that could be as as a character, just kind of saving. So maybe you could say in a small way, I mean, I know you've already used Jon Snow. Jon Snow saving the Seven Kingdoms from being slaughtered by, you know, Daenerys and Drogon, you know, because because that's what she was going to do. And then he came in and did something at the last minute. I mean, we didn't even know Terry Pegula was a potential buyer until the, you know, the very end when bids were coming up. I mean, it was always speculated on, but we didn't know. So here you have maybe, that's the only parallel I can think of.
Because
he's not evil like Bob Kraft, Robert Kraft.
Right.
So I don't know. Can you think of one better? I can't honestly think of.
No, I really can't. I'm just quickly trying to go through all the characters in my mind. And saving. I can't.
I mean,
pick one.
We haven't really talked about.
I was just trying to think of some of the other houses and like anybody who would be really wealthy.
Greyjoy. I mean, I can't really. There's no one in Greyjoy. House.
Not rich enough, I don't think. The Tyrells would be rich enough that we could put him in there, but
House Baratheon.
Yeah, but Tyrells. Maybe the Olenna Tyrell, but Terry isn't. I don't know. We don't hear Terry Pegula speak enough for him to be kind of like dropping knowledge on people. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Otherwise, I would kind of say Olenna Tyrell, but I just don't hear him speak enough, so I can't really match his personality.
Yeah, good call. That's a tough one. Well, if we come back to it, we'll mention that one.
All right, I got a couple others. You want to hear them?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's shift our focus to Ser Bronn of the Blackwater, now known as Ser Bronn of Highgarden. He came in also during the Battle of Blackwater, became a fan favorite, and despite everything, has somehow became, by the end of the television show, the Master of Coin. So he's essentially the treasurer for the kingdom. And the only guy I could think of there is Thurman Thomas. Mm-hmm. He's a fan favorite player. And, you know, I always hear the commercials for 34 Rush at Batavia Downs. So, you know, he's making a ton of money and he's gambling and he's at casinos and he's hanging out and having a grand old time. So, you know what? Ser Bronn of the Blackwater, Thurman Thomas.
Kind of like, you know, selling his services to the highest bidder, right?
That's right.
You know what's funny is when people talk about that, or whether it's players like that doing commercials or whatever, when it's Ser Bronn, like, man, much respect to you, man. If you can do that, good for you. Dude, if I could sell off this podcast for, like, to the highest bidder, I'd totally leave Buffalo Rumbly second. Just kidding, Matt. Just kidding. No. But I mean, you know, that's a good parallel. I like it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
The other one I had before, I want to get to my one that I think we can discuss in great length. One of the smaller ones I had was newly acquired Frank Gore. Kind of a journeyman play. Well, not really journey. Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Yep. He's played for several teams. So in Game of Thrones world, we could say he's been a part of multiple houses. And he's always been, you know, considered, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And the only guy I could think of who constantly shifts allegiances in Game of Thrones is the Hound, Sandor Clegane, very stout fighter. Has fought for the Lannisters, has fought for the Starks, has fought for himself, has fought for the Brotherhood Without Banners. He's been all over the place.
He always produces.
Always comes through. Yep. So I'm giving it to Frank Gore for that.
Oh man, that's a good one. He's easy to root for too.
Yes, exactly.
You know, both guys. And now we always talk about like LeSean McCoy hitting, you know, 31, going to become 32 soon. But Frank Gore, man, he doesn't age. He's almost like the mountain in that respect. He just doesn't die. When we're talking about the Hound, but no, I like the Hound better because it's much. We all hated the mountain. So, is there a parallel for the mountain? I know we were just talking about trying to find one for Terry Pegula. The mountain. I'm trying to think of people I don't like.
Well, maybe that's our Terry Pegula. Maybe instead of being a physical mountain, Terry Pegula is just a money mountain.
And you know what I was thinking too? Maybe just right now, because I was thinking we have this gag on the podcast, the Piece of Garbage Club, which you know has to do with like players that we basically hate because you know like Jarvis Landry is an easy guy to hate.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just
for sure.
Taking cheap shots at the Bills when he was with the Dolphins. Maybe like, and I know he's not this bad, but like Rob Gronkowski, like just a mountain of a person, huge guy.
Yep.
He played for, we were just talking about trying to find someone with the allegiance with the Lannisters. He's always Patriots.
I like this. Yes.
Patriots
for sure.
Always has an allegiance with the Lannisters. He's never not fought with the Lannisters or the Baratheons or whoever. And he's just, you never, I mean, as Bills fans, I don't know, we really didn't like him towards the end. He was kind of a
big
douche.
Big lumbering. Dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Very dumb. Like, you know, better as a mute, right?
Yes. And they're both on Barstool all the time, so that's fine.
Are they? That's hilarious. Oh.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Man.
I had one last one, if you want to discuss this.
Yeah.
And I know...
Hold on. I want to get one in before, because I think yours is going to be much better than this one.
Okay.
So let me get one in really quick. And it's kind of relevant to what's going on with the Bills now. So I was trying to think of O.J. Simpson. So O.J. Simpson's jersey is finally being used for the first time after 42 years, right? Like, hasn't been used in forever. And I was like, O.J. is obviously a major player in Bills history, whether you like him or not. And so I was trying to think of someone in the Game of Thrones realm that kind of reminded me of O.J. And it was like, you know, for the most part, like, a decent guy, it seemed like, as a player. Like, he seemed to be doing the right things. And then one moment he snapped. Allegedly snapped and did the complete wrong thing. I'm thinking the Mad King.
Oh, the Mad King. Interesting.
Yes, the Mad King. Did you have someone for that?
I had someone. OJ was where I was going with my next one. So let's talk about, give me your case for the Mad King.
So my case for that is just like, and I don't know, was his name Aegon? Was it Aegon Targaryen or is it Rhaegar Targaryen?
Yeah.
Aegon, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So Aegon Targaryen was like, I don't know how he was his ruler. He was called the Mad King. So he probably wasn't that great of a guy. But like, what really did him in at the end and why he was killed and why Jaime killed him is because he told everyone that he just sounded like he went insane. He wanted to burn everyone and kill everyone, right? Yep. He wanted to just kill, which is, oddly enough, is what Daenerys actually ended up doing. but like that moment of just clear rage. And it just made me think of, like, and someone that he was the king of King's Landing and all those people, obviously, and was talking about killing and burning all of them. Whereas, like, this is O.J. Simpson. I know it's his ex-wife, but technically at one point he loved her. He was still seeing her off and on and just turned on her in one instant. One night it was done, allegedly killed, stabbed to death. And just you never looked at him the same. He was always known as O.J., the alleged murderer, and just like the Mad King will never be known for anything but him almost burning down the entire city, you know. So
right.
So that right. that was my O.J. Simpson parallel. What about you?
Okay, I was close. I had Daenerys actually as O.J. Simpson, uh-huh. And the reason was another fan favorite, powerhouse player, larger than life character. You know, he for his playing years, you know, I think a lot of people liked him. He was pretty good. And then he had his dark turn, just like Daenerys, end up, you know, instead of his version of murdering a whole town of people was him killing his wife and the boyfriend, yeah, or whatever it was. And he ended up on everyone's shit list, and almost in even that, people are still kind of on the fence about whether he actually did it or not. And a lot of people are still talking about whether Daenerys had the right to kill all those people in King's Landing. So there is a lot of controversy between both of them.
Yeah.
And I think these two just line up super close. He's the Daenerys for sure.
Dude, that is way better than mine. Easily say that. That's exactly spot on. Like you said, well, what happened is, and we were way too young to watch OJ play. So what the OJ that we saw was the guy that was in commercials, was in Police Academy, Naked Gun,
and
those movies, and he was a completely likable guy. Everyone loved him.
Yes.
He was a good looking guy. He had a smile that everyone, and it would, not only that though, it was great for, you know, he was just a very important person within the realm of fandom, the African American community, and, you know, in the movies and everything like that. So when he allegedly turned, nobody would believe it. So it was just, and for us as fans this last season, none of us believed that Daenerys would turn like that.
Right.
After
hero. She was supposed to break the wheel. She was supposed to be the good guy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
yeah, exactly. And everyone, fans everywhere for Daenerys and for O.J. Simpson. And even though Daenerys did some very kind of questionable things looking back at it, when you really thought about it, and Tyrion brought that up in the last episode, and you kind of overlooked it. And there were some definite incidents that O.J. had before the murder. Mm-hmm. If you watch the documentary, which I would recommend, too many documentary shout outs. That one wasn't actual. That was an actually acted documentary with Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ. But like, there were definitely some incidents before that where you're like, I don't necessarily think that he would murder two people, but he's not as good a guy as we all think. And that was the same with Daenerys. Like, there were definitely some domestic disputes that Nicole and OJ had. And it was just like Daenerys, like, she was doing some things. You're like, I think there might be a better way of doing that, handling that. And it was just, it was very, so maybe he wasn't as good of a guy as we all thought, obviously. And she wasn't as good of a, that's so much better. So much better than mine. Was that the one that you were just going to bring up just now?
Yeah. That was my final one. Mm-hmm.
So I have, so the ones that I have were much better earlier. So these ones are kind of off the wall. I was trying to kind of think of some parallels between some characters and where they fit in the realm of either the Bills or football. So the evil high priest in King's Landing, right? That character that basically, so think about it. So you have the king, or the queen in this case, it was King Commonin or whatever, Tommen at that point. But even though Cersei was basically running everything. And then you have the religious sect, which basically also governs the people because they have that much power within the general population.
Yep.
And there was definitely a big question of who has the power. Is it the king? Is it the high priest? Who is the actual leader of the people? And at one point, because Cersei got taken, you know, got put under arrest basically by the religious right or whatever, she couldn't, I mean, it basically made it look like the evil high priest was more powerful than her, even.
Yeah.
Which is crazy looking back at it. So my parallel for him is Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL.
Wow. Okay.
So the entire NFL is made up of 32 owners, right? Mm-hmm. But he basically speaks for them, but he can do whatever he wants to individual people, like Queen Cersei, like who was Tommen's wife at the, I can't remember her name.
Marjorie.
So he could throw her in jail. He could throw Tyrell. What was his name? What was the
Loras?
Loras. Thank you,
Sir Loras. Yeah,
Nick. This is why I got you on, buddy. Loras Tyrell. He threw him in, like, all of these high ranking people. It didn't matter, and that's what Roger Goodell. Oh, he doesn't like what Jerry Jones is doing. Well, he's just going to take away a draft pick. He doesn't like what Robert Kraft is doing. He's just going to do this. And as far as I'm concerned, standing from NFL fans, like, none of us really like Roger Goodell. When he first came in. Like, we're like, oh, this is a guy that's actually going to bring some, he's going to make this league better. But I feel like he's done so much worse in the land. And that's what, like, the high priest did when he first came in. You're like, okay, he's going to work with the crown. He's going to make, in general, this kingdom, this ruling class, like, everything's going to be better. And then he got way too much power and everyone hated him and his rule needed to end. And, you know, it was just, it was like,
I like it.
It was like Roger Goodell, you know?
Yeah. Is there the angle I was kind of thinking when you brought up what's this called, the High Sparrow, or whatever
High Sparrow,
his name
yeah.
is?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody who has kind of rose to ascension because they got lucky with, like, an old antiquated line of thinking, football wise? Because he's very religious, right? And religion is kind of the. In Game of Thrones land, the only religion that we've seen come through has been the Lord of Light,
mm-hmm.
the seven gods or whatever, the Light of the Seven, whatever they call themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They never came through, but it's a very stout, very almost like very strict religious
yep.
Belief in Game of Thrones. So, is there in football terms, is there kind of an older, antiquated line of thinking? And it's somebody who got elevated status because of that antiquated line of thinking, even though in the long run it proved not to be, you know, successful.
Like, I think in general, when you say that, it makes me think of, like, the ownership of the NFL. Like, I mean, you think of like these guys that are, you know, and for the most part they're mostly white,
the old boys club,
old, yeah, they're in their 60s and 70s, they're not mm-hmm. younger. Their mm-hmm. thoughts are definitely they're money oriented, which they have to be because they're owners. It's a business.
Sure.
But sometimes they do things out of money instead of what's best for the league, or, you know, because, like, for example, like, one of the biggest things that annoys me about the league that doesn't happen with other leagues is the marijuana policy. Like, personally, yeah. I don't give a shit if you're smoking weed in your off season or whatever. It's been proven to help with pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this isn't coming from someone that uses drugs or anything, but this is just like, I don't care. I just don't care. Like, you could be using it to, and I don't want to take this a step further and be
it's
like,
it's not performance enhancing, right? It's just kind of,
no, exactly.
You know, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I might take it a step further and be like, I don't care whatever guys put in their system, you know, I mean, you know, whatever, but to the point, there are some things that actually do enhance performance, like certain drugs help with focus, certain drugs, obviously HGH help with strength and rehabilitation. Yeah. So I don't necessarily agree with that, but just this way of thinking of, you know, and not only that, like, so now that we're talking about it more, like, does anybody hold cities more at bay or cities held hostage by owners than, like, NFL owners? They're just like, build me a new stadium, city. You know, you guys are paying for everything, essentially, yes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like in that respect, like what you were saying, you know, he could basically hold the royal family and the kingdom hostage for what he wanted, whatever like he's believing, right or wrong. Like, these, and don't get me wrong, like, I mean, owners have a reason to, because they do it because they can, because they can get tax money out of us. But if you think about it, like, you know, why are we doing this for you? You have millions, billions of dollars. You reap a lot of the benefit. But I see both ways, but you know what I mean? Like, that kind of makes me think about it. What about you? Is there anyone that you could think of that kind of runs to that? Like, I wanted to say, like, old way of thinking as far as coaching, but I couldn't think of a specific way. And all those guys usually end up getting fired and don't last that long.
Right, right. Yeah, and the High Sparrow lasted, what, a couple seasons before he got
yep.
blown up? So, mm-hmm. yeah, no, I couldn't really think of anybody. But when you brought him up, I just, that's kind of where my mind went to. What else you got? Anything else?
Like, these are just really shot in the dark. So, like, I was thinking of Renly and Stannis Baratheon. I was just thinking of Rex and Rob Ryan. I don't know why. I mean, because they're brothers, obviously. They're parallels of what actually happened.
I had one for Rex Ryan, but I forgot. My angle that I wanted to come at it with Rex Ryan was his weird foot fetish. Yeah. I wanted to try to equate them, but I couldn't find it.
I actually just got one more, and this is this is actual characters. So I was thinking of the dragons, Daenerys's dragons. She had three dragons, right? And I was thinking the dragons would be the most recognizable bills in the last 30 years. So we're talking Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas. Now, I was thinking, Bruce Smith is the easiest one just because it's not the easiest, but it's just like whatever. He was a second to die, Bruce Smith. He lasted forever with the Bills, but, you know, ended up, you know, leaving or whatever. So that one doesn't really have a good parallel. But the dragon that first died, the one that ended up becoming a dragon for the Night King, Thurman Thomas.
Wow.
Now, I say that because he played for the Dolphins, the enemy.
For one season,
he played for the Dolphins.
You're right.
Even though for the rest of the time, he was a normal dragon, you know, player with the Bills, Hall of Famer, great guy, but just you know, got shot down. And he got cut from the Bills. Not his fault. I don't blame him. I mean, what are you going to do? He's going to retire or play for another team. He played for another team.
But
just like the dragon didn't have a choice. He got killed.
Ghost plays for the enemy.
So, yeah. And then obviously Drogon, Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly, by far the most recognizable guy.
No matter how many times you hit him, he keeps coming back.
He's coming back.
Wreck shop.
Yep, exactly. He's gotten hit a bunch of times. Always follows through. Always perseveres. And without Drogon, So those are characters. I actually have a couple of quick parallels between Game of Thrones scenes and Bill's history. I talked last episode about the Battle of Blackwater. I talked this episode about Blackwater. The most easiest one I could think of that is definitely one for one between what happened in Game of Thrones, a scene that happened in Game of Thrones, and a scene that happened for the Buffalo Bills, an event that happened for the Buffalo Bills, is the greatest comeback in NFL history. So if you think about a scene in Game of Thrones where the odds were against them, you thought they were going to lose, you thought everything was going to go wrong, but at the last second, something came through, someone came through, and ended up flipping the tables and ended up winning.
Wow.
So I got this idea from NFL memes where they showed the Night King. So there's that famous, you know, 28-3 when the Falcons were beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and then they obviously ended up losing. So it's like Falcons thought that they were the Night King thought he was the Falcons in the Super Bowl, right? Ended up losing. And then I was like, whoa, what is that? The greatest comeback in NFL history. That is the Buffalo Bills beating the Houston Oilers is like the Night King getting killed by Arya in Winterfell. Yes.
Nice.
You thought everyone was going to die. It literally looked like 10 people were left alive when they were panning over, you know, the castle and, you know, a lot of major characters, obviously, a lot of people dying. And then the Night King, and then at the last second, Arya, who in this situation is our Frank Reich, comes through. Comes out, who has been training this whole time as a backup, you know, just never really been put in the spot, finally gets the chance to use their training.
Nice.
Frank Reich leads the Bills back from a 38-3. I think they were losing 35-3 to end up winning 41-38. Arya ends up leading the army of man to win against the Night King, and she kills the Night King, right?
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, nice.
And then the last one I'll do is the Red Wedding. The infamous wedding where Walter Frey married off one of his daughters to a man from House Arryn, only, which was supposed to be Robb Stark. Robb was supposed to marry one of Walter Frey's, but Robb married a battle nurse that he fell in love with instead, which really pissed off Walter Frey, ending in Robb getting killed. His wife getting killed and his mother, Catelyn Stark, also getting killed very gruesomely, right? That was a completely gruesome scene. Again, like last episode, we talked about one of the amazing things about the series being able to, you thought Robb Stark was going to go on from here on out, right?
Yeah.
He ends up getting killed.
One of the biggest shock moments, I think, of television history, for sure.
Absolutely. And so that, for me, was, you think of the Buffalo Bills, things that happened that were very, very disappointing, that you thought were in the bag, that thought everything was fine and everything was going to go smooth, and the last end, they cut your heart out, and it was the Music City Miracle. It was I know that pains us to talk about Music City Miracle, but there was definitely Rob Stark was our Rob Johnson, oddly enough. Catelyn Stark was Wade Phillips, the coach at the time, and the Frays were the Tennessee Titans. And not only did they kill the leaders of the family of the House of Stark, but the Tennessee Titans started the 17-year playoff drought for the Bills. So it was like very important moments in the Stark family and then also for Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's
wow. Nice.
Okay, so I got a couple more real quick. I know we've been going long. By the way, I also have Arya changing faces to come back a few seasons later and kill Walter Frey and the whole Frey family. Remember she did that? Mm-hmm. That I had as Andy Dalton as Arya in this situation, ending the drought by throwing a TD pass to Tyler Boyd in week 17 against the Ravens. So that's where I had
Arya Stark.
So, but I also had another one for ending the 17-year playoff drought. I thought about when Daenerys frees the slaves in Slaver's Bay, you know, all of a sudden, and which you didn't think would happen. That was a really shocking moment. She gives a dragon to one of the guys. That was the payment for the Unsullied Army. And what ends up happening is, you know, she ends up killing all of the slave owners there and ends up freeing all the slaves. So we normally do, Nick, you know, because you've done a recap with us. During the season, we do a weekly recap and we give a wall of famer and a wall of shamer for each game. So obviously Wall of Famer is someone that does great during the game through a win or a loss, and a Wall of Shamer is just like you would think. Someone that doesn't really step up to the plate as much as you'd want. So
sure.
So Wall of Famer, I'll let you go next, but my Wall of Famer, there's so many really good characters that ended up doing well, but I guess it's got to be Arya just because she was just like this little girl when we first met her, and you know she was like a tomboy, and you know she wanted more than just to be a lady in the Stark household, and she ended up, my favorite episode, even though it was a crappy season, was definitely the episode where she killed the Night King, and even though she's about to kill him, you're like, and he stops her, you're like, there's no way she's gonna do it, and then she ends up doing the move, drops the knife. Dude, you know martial arts. Is that something they teach you in martial arts? To drop
that, but that's a reoccurring thing they've been doing in Hollywood. I've noticed the last couple. I think Captain America: Winter Soldier had a move like that. Star Wars featured a move
that. Okay.
And now Game of Thrones featured a move like that. So it's in the action choreography zeitgeist right now. It's probably gonna spawn a bunch of other movies that are gonna feature a smooth knife drop as a killing blow.
Yeah, definitely. So, Nick, who do you have as someone for this series as your Wall of Famer?
A little bit of an underrated character, I think. Started from nothing, kind of low-level smuggler, worked his way up to the hand of the King of the North, and then is sitting on the High Council at the very end of the show. And that is my boy, the Onion Knight, Sir Davos Seaworth, yes. Wall of Famer. Just an all-around good guy. One of my favorite characters throughout the entire show, even from when he was serving Stannis Baratheon. Awesome dude.
Awesome dude.
Wall of Famer. Yep.
Learned to read, right?
Yeah, learned to read. Yep. Yes.
Dude, go ahead. We talked last episode about like people with better stories than Bran, right? Because that was the thing. Like Tyrion is standing at the end of like the episode and he's like, who has a better story than Bran? I think Sir Davos has an amazing story, like you just mentioned. I mean, he went from a smuggler to becoming Hand of the King, and just he just worked his way up from
fingers chopped off, incredible story.
I love that. I love that. By the way, before we get into our Wall of Shame, mm-hmm. how ridiculous was it that they sat around to decide how the government was gonna run, like with the seven of them, and then they're basically taking advice from the prisoner, the guy whose fate they're supposed to determine, you know? They're like, what do you think, prisoner?
That scene I felt was more or less a like they know who Tyrion is, and I feel like the only reason why he was locked up like that is because the Unsullied had control of the city. Like, mm-hmm. I think in any other circumstance, he'd be like, oh, all right, well, you know, and we'll just keep moving on. Because, I mean, half those people didn't even like Daenerys. You know, Sansa didn't really care for Daenerys. Arya didn't care for him. Yeah. Ser Davos was with the on the Starks anyway. Half the people that were sitting up there were probably on the side of the Starks. So I think it was just pretty much a formality at that point.
He
had to be in chains, but otherwise he was fine.
Okay,
he
gotcha. All right. I just saw that it was just really weird. It was funny how Sam Tarly just kind of pitched democracy, and they're like, no.
It was speculated. There was no way they were jumping right to democracy, and they kind of went to more of a, is it an oligarchy, kind of like a voted king or queen by the end of it. So
Wall of Shame I had for the entire series. I had so many different people. So there's so many obvious people that you can put in this, and we've talked so many obvious people. I wanted to go with kind of an off the board guy, a guy that we didn't think that we liked at the time, but ended up having a very brutal ending. And that's the Viper, was he the prince or the king
the red Viper that guy.
Wow. Now I'll say this only because I really liked him. Like, I liked him for the most part. I think everything he did was great because he was going to fight for Tyrion in what it was, a trial by combat, right?
Yeah.
And against the Mountain. And and the guy had really, was he the Prince of Dorne or was he the King of Dorne? I can't remember. I think he was
the Prince. He was up there.
He was up there, yeah. So he was going to, as a prince, especially like putting himself out there, trying to kill the Mountain, and he had his own reasons because obviously the Mountain specifically had killed, and you know, his sister and their children because the sister was the wife of the Mad King and blah, blah, blah. Just watch the show if you want to know. but you know, I really respected him, but he could have easily killed the Mountain. And instead of doing that, instead of just making the final kill shot, in that he got cocky, he made a spectacle out of it. It was just like do your job and just finish him. And he didn't, and he ended up getting killed in a very gruesome way. And although I didn't want him to die, to me he was a Wall of Shamer just because he should have just done it. And obviously it wouldn't have been as good of a scene if he had just killed him, because the Mountain wouldn't have continued. And that was obviously a big ending between the Mountain and the Hound. But I remember thinking how upset I was personally that he didn't do that, and how mad I was at him that he just was so close. He was clearly the better fighter, even though he was smaller, he was just faster. But wasn't stronger, and that's what mattered. So
wow. Nice. Okay. All right. For mine I could see there's some low hanging fruit here as well. I could be sassy, and I could say, you know, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, Wall of Shame. Shame on you for ruining a great show.
Oh yeah,
I'm not gonna go there. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like getting in that argument again. I'm gonna go Edmure Tully as for my Wall of Shame. This character was just a big oaf, and he came in. He's always coming in high stepping, always coming in making some monologuing like a stuff don't stink.
Yeah.
And he always manages to flub it. His dad dies. He can't even shoot the arrow to light the pyre on the bow. He keeps missing that. He can't even do that. He marries Walder Frey's daughter, somehow becomes one of the central figures of the Red Wedding. At the end of the show, he comes back, gets swatted by his niece, who tells him to sit down. Accidentally bangs his sword on the post. Wall of Shamer for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know what he reminds me of? Wasn't there a time where he basically gave over the castle to the Lannisters, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. Yes, he did. Yes,
he just
did.
Walked over and said, "Open the gates," and he was like the king or whatever, the lord.
Yeah,
they did, and he's just like, "Yeah, we're just gonna, yeah, everyone's gonna, they're gonna take over this castle." So, which I think wasn't at the time. I don't remember being as upset because I think everyone lived. If I'm right, or did they Lannisters end up killing everyone? I can't remember.
They killed a lot of the Tullys. I think they killed the Blackfish in particular.
Oh yeah, because he fought.
Yeah, but yeah.
So, you know what he reminds me of is like, now I haven't dealt with this in a long time, and I've only dealt with it once. It was my first job out of college, where the owner's son worked there. And you just, like you said, like you're talking about, your shit doesn't stink. Like, he's just like, just like doofy, like nothing matters because there's no way he's gonna fall but up. You know, just like,
yes,
he's,
that's a perfect analogy. Actually,
that now I know they're not all like that, obviously, but but if anyone's ever worked with the owner's son, sometimes it is like that. And I shared a queue with the owner's son, and I was just like, this guy is just like, he wouldn't show up sometimes. I mean, it was just, it was hilarious. He just thought, and he was just like, well, I'm gonna own this company someday. Just like he had the same sort of
kind of half-assed sense of the time, and then once his moment comes, he drops the ball because he's totally unprepared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like he has a sense of he just everything belongs to him. Like he hasn't earned it, but yeah. So, so Nick, you know, obviously appreciate you coming on. We talked about
thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We talked about your podcast briefly earlier, and we won't spoil it here. But you did an Avengers Endgame spoiler review, right?
Yep, that's our latest episode right now. We got our Avengers Endgame spoiler review coming up very soon. We're going to be releasing we did a review for the movie Triple Frontier, the Netflix movie with Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal. We reviewed that movie. That will be releasing shortly. And then coming up, we'll probably have a review for John Wick here in the next couple of weeks, and John Wick 3, Parabellum, along with we also do a series where we just kind of catch up on pop culture news, movie, TV news, and we just kind of discuss that. So we do that along the way as well. So that's kind of what we got coming up on the show.
Yeah, so for anyone that hasn't heard that or heard Nick before on the podcast, it's a really great podcast if you like music, movies, TV shows, everything like that. I mean, Nick and his friends cover all of that. His co-hosts are great. It's a really great listen. So you're also, not only are you your own podcast host, your co-host here when you come on, your special guest host, but you're also the graphic designer for our podcast. So you've not only created our kick-ass, you know, Circling the Wagons podcast logo, but almost every other Bills design that we have at T Public. We discussed a design that you're almost done with for this episode, for the Game of Thrones episodes. Can you give us a sneak peek of what you're working on?
Sure. Yeah, it's and I had some technical difficulties, so apologies for not getting the design out sooner. But it's a Game of Thrones inspired design, with mixing in our some Bills elements, or else, you know, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be it's going to feature Josh Allen and the Iron Throne. So I don't want to give away too much, but That's kind of what you got to look forward to.
Yeah, there might be some cool motto to go along with it we've talked about. So cool, man. You do an amazing job. You can find that design soon. By the way, I'm going to tweet that when it comes out. So if you're not following us on Twitter, please do at CTW Pod. That's Circling the Wagons Pod. So you can find that design soon and all of our other Bill's artwork at tpublic.com/stores/CTW Pod, just like our Twitter handle. We just became a ninja partner with TeePublic because the Bills artwork has gotten so popular. So thank you all for listening for all of that. Also, we made our first donation from the podcast fund to the Never Ever Give Up Foundation, the same foundation that Supercade is part of and Josh Allen also supports. So that came from our interview with Lindsay Darkangelo of The Athletic. So if you haven't heard that interview yet, I highly recommend it. We've also donated to Poncho Billa's GoFundMe page and the teacher's desk to fill backpacks for children, which was one of Poncho's last wishes. But again, we will continue to donate proceeds from our TeePublic site, just like we have. That site, again, is tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod, just like our Twitter handle. So I'll tweet that out soon. So Nick, where can they find you on Twitter, and where can they find your podcast?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram at TheTorrentPod. We always tweeting, posting updates, and podcasts, wherever podcasts are found. Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and any podcast service, we're on it. You name it, we're on it.
Yeah, wherever you're searching for the Circling the Wagons podcast, as long as it's not on buffalorumblings.com, you can find the Torrent. Just search the Torrent podcast. Yep. So definitely worth a listen. I love listening to you guys. We did a football movie draft together on your podcast last season where you had me on as a co-host. I think I'll release this off season. That was really fun. So stay tuned for that before training camp. So thanks again for listening. So again, for Nick, thanks for Nick from the Torrent podcast for coming on. So Nick.
Go Bills, Fala Margulis.
So for me, Nate, winter is coming. Thanks for listening. Go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.